Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching today from the Psalms. Psalm 32 is where I will begin. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. And then I'll be going to Romans chapter 4. Psalm 32, if you want to kind of get prepared. Psalm 32, which is a psalm of David. The Holy Spirit inspired David to write this psalm, King David. And then Romans chapter 4, which was inspired by the Spirit, or the Spirit inspired Paul, the Apostle Paul, to write that. And the title of the message is this: No Charge Against Me. That's the title. No Charge Against Me. Now, what we need to understand first of all is that when it comes to the state of man and woman here on this earth, that we stand before God in ourselves based on our works as fallen, sinful, and depraved. And I know that might, I know people will say, well, I know we've all sinned, but I'm not depraved. Well, the Bible says we are, and it gives us the evidence of these things, but I've often told you in this program, you who have watched me over the weeks, months, or years, that we talk about the three R's of salvation: ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and regenerated by the Spirit. Those are the three R's of salvation. I preached a whole message on that. But I preach on those things every time I preach. But the ruined by the fall is the fact that the Bible teaches that we all fell into sin and death in Adam. Adam was the representative of the whole human race. Sometimes we call it the whole human family. And God appointed Adam to be such. He was the representative. And so when Adam fell, we all fell. And it's important that we understand this, that when we fell in Adam, it wasn't just falling in a way that we become potentially sinners. In other words, it wasn't just that we are potentially sinners, but we were made sinners in Adam. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5, and verse 12, for by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And it says, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, or literally all sinned. And so when Adam fell, we fell into sin and death. And so the truth of that issue is this: that if there is going to be salvation for any of us sinful people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good. If there's going to be salvation for any of us, it can only be by God's grace. We cannot work our way out of this mess of sin and death. We cannot work our way into righteousness. I quote all the time, and I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And it goes on and says, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is all of grace. It's not part grace and part works. Now, preachers today will tell you that you have a spark of goodness, or what they call a free will. And the way the Bible tells us the truth of that matter is that if left to our own free will, you know, when we talk about free will, you have the freedom to choose whatever you want to choose. But the Bible teaches that if we're left to ourselves, we will not choose right according to God's standard of right. We will not choose God. We will not choose Christ. You see, salvation is not conditioned on your free will choice. Because if it were, you'd be damned. One preacher put it this way, if God came down here and brought the whole human race together and left them in our fallen, sinful state now, depraved, this is what depravity is. It doesn't mean, when we say totally depraved, we're not talking about everybody around here is a raving lunatic, anarchist, going around robbing and killing. That's not what depravity is shown in how we naturally respond to the truth of the gospel of the cross. And what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 2:14? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. That's depravity. So if any of us are saved, we must be saved by grace. However, there comes another obstacle here now. Salvation cannot be by works. If you believe salvation by works, and I'll put it to you this way. I try to put it in such clear and plain terms that nobody can misunderstand. If you believe that salvation is conditioned on you, then my friend, there's salvation's impossible. Christ said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. So that's the obstacle, you know, and when God draws his people, he doesn't draw us against our will. What God does is he sovereignly, powerfully, by the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the truth of Christ, he changes our will. He gives us a heart. That's what Jeremiah said. I'll give them a new heart. And that's the new birth. Christ said you must be born again. But we must be saved by grace. Now, in order to be saved by grace, for God to save any of us by grace, he must do it upon a just and righteous ground. He cannot arbitrarily just say, you're saved. God is a holy God. God is a just God. He must be just when he justifies. So now how can that problem be solved? Well, man has no answer. There's no religion concocted by man, which if it's concocted by man, it's a false religion. There's no religion imagined by man that can answer that question. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? How can God be true to himself as a just God and still save a sinner like me? He must do so. He must be just when he justifies. That's the leading attribute of God when it comes to him revealing himself in salvation. He must be just. He must be a just judge as well as a loving father. A righteous judge, a truthful judge, as well as a merciful Savior. Now, how can he be both? Well, the answer is found in these verses that I'm going to talk to you about. And we look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And look at verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, that's what we need, the forgiveness of sins. Whose sin is covered. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll see the word atonement, and it refers to the covering of sin by the blood of animals, things like that. Well, those things were pictures of God covering the sins of his people and forgiving them by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when he says, whose sin is covered, He does not mean whose sins are hidden from view. Like in a cloak, you know. You can pull the covers up over your head, but God still sees you. And you can try to fool people. You can be hypocritical. You can hide your sins, but you can't hide it from God. There is no covering over of sin from the eyes of God as far as covering them over hidden from view. The covering here means that they have been atoned for. In the New Testament, it goes even further to talk about reconciliation. In other words, these sins have been justly put away. That's what the covering means. You have a picture of that in the Old Testament tabernacle. You had the ark in the very holy place where only the high priest could go one time a year. You had the Ark of the Covenant, and inside that ark, that box, it was made of shittim wood and overlaid with gold. That speaks of the deity and the humanity of Christ. And in that box was the broken law, and it was covered over by the mercy seat, and the high priest had to come in one time a year and sprinkle the blood of the lamb from off the brazen altar on that mercy seat. And that was a picture of the bloody death of Christ in the place of his people, paying the sin debt. So he says in verse 1, Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now what is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the non-imputation of sins. And what does that mean? That means no charge against him. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? Well, that's somebody's imputed a charge, a crime to you. You may have been charged with something you did do. Well, we are sinners. We are sinners. But there are some sinners to whom God does not impute or charge iniquity. Now, iniquity is one of the many words in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Greek form, in the New Testament, that describes sin to us. Now, sin has many, there are many words, especially in the New Testament, for sin. And the most common word for sin means to miss the mark. Now, what is the mark? Well, the mark is absolute perfection, the perfection of the law. And it says no matter how good we are or how good we try to be, how righteous we try to be, we always fall short. We always miss the mark. We never come up to the standard. We always are imbalanced. That's what iniquity is, inequity. We never measure up. You know, in the book of Daniel, for example, you remember the story of Belshazzar when he took the temple vessels that had been taken from Jerusalem and he used them for unholy purposes, a drunken party. And God sent a message in form of a hand that wrote on the wall. And it said, you're weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. That's inequity, iniquity. And what David is saying here is, blessed is the man to whom the Lord charges not with iniquity. Now, here's the thing. How, if I'm a sinner, and I am, I fell in Adam, I was born dead in trespasses and sins, and I come forth from the womb speaking lies, we all sin. You sinned, I've sinned, we sin every day. That's what we are. There's not a just man on earth who sinneth not, Scripture says. And that's what we are by nature and by practice. And I am a sinner. How can God not charge me with my sins and be just? Does he just, well, most people today sort of think it's like this. Well, God is just too loving. he just feels so sorry for us that he'll just look over that part. No, that is not the God of this Bible. Don't think that. That's wrong. If you concoct in your mind a God who's just too merciful and too loving to punish what he knows you deserve, then my friend, you've got an idol. God must be just. And the question is, how can God look at me, a sinner, and not charge me with my sin and still be righteous and holy and true to himself? If there is a way that he can do that, what a blessing it is. That's why David wrote, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Now, here's the bottom line now on this. If you're among those people to whom God imputeth not iniquity, then, my friend, you are assured for heaven. That's the ground of salvation. But now, if you're among the multitudes to whom God does impute iniquity, then you're doomed to perish. Salvation is only for those to whom God does not charge with sin. Not charged with sin. A person not charged. Well, what does that mean? Now, that word impute, now, again, what does it mean? It's used as a legal term, like in a court of law. A charge is brought against a person. They are charged with a crime. All right. If they're exonerated, the charge is removed. The imputation not. All right. It's also used as a mercantile term, like a business term. Somebody runs up a debt. You run up a debt with a credit card. Well, you say you run up a credit card for $1,000. Well, $1,000 is imputed charge to your account. Well, in Adam we fell and we've sinned and we've run up a debt, the sin debt. In fact, one of the words for sin in the Bible is debt. That's what, you know, we talk about criminals and they get caught and they go to court and they get charged with a crime and they are pronounced guilty and they go to prison to do what? To pay their debt to society. Well, that's what it is. See, when we sin, we run up a debt. And that's why sin is imputed, all right? Now, how can God not charge me with my sin? Not charged with sin. Well, the non-imputation, the non-charging of sin has many implications, all right? Well, first of all, we have to understand this. That if God does not charge me with my sins, he must charge them to somebody. And that somebody has to pay the debt. If I owe a debt to a bank here in town or on a credit card, either I've got to pay the debt or somebody's got to pay it for me. And somebody says, well, you can go bankrupt, but that's what we are, spiritually bankrupt. That's what total depravity is. And that means to perish financially. It means you can't borrow any money and all of that. If God is not going to charge me with my sins, and he's going to be just to do so, he must find somebody whom he judges to be able and willing to pay it. Somebody who himself is able and willing to pay it. He must charge those sins to somebody. Well, I've got good news for you. For the people of God, and I want you to understand this because false gospels have corrupted the minds of so many people today. But it's not for everybody. But for the people of God, God's elect, those whom he chose before the foundation of the world. If God has not imputed my sins to me, who's he imputed them to? He's imputed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible's full of language that teaches that. For example, you can look at passages like Isaiah 53. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who's the all there? That's his people. Christ took the sins of his people. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin. How? By imputing the sins of his people to Christ. And you say, well, isn't that unfair for God to do that to Christ? No. And I'll tell you why. Because Christ willingly, in the everlasting covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, he willingly took that task upon himself. God the Father chose a people and gave them to his Son and put all the responsibility of their whole salvation upon Christ. And Christ willingly said, I'll lay my life down on the cross to pay for their sins. And out of his payment, by his blood, his death, that's what he did. He purged the sins of his people. He washed the sins of his sheep away. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's all metaphorical language showing how Christ paid the sin debt in full as it was imputed, charged to him. God does not charge it to me. He charged my sins to Christ. And when Christ died and paid that debt, out of his death came righteousness that has been imputed, charged to me. Now look at Romans chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul is giving us a commentary on David's words in Psalm 32. David, remember, David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Well, Paul writes here, look at Romans 4. He's talking about Abraham first, and he said how Abraham was justified. Well, Abraham was justified before God because God did not impute Abraham's sins to him, but he imputed Christ's righteousness to Abraham. And look what what Paul says about David. He raises the issue of King David, verse 6. Of Romans 4. He said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth, charges, righteousness without works. Now, when did David say that? Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So how does God not impute, charge my sins to me and still be righteous in doing so? How does God impute Christ's righteousness to me and still be righteous in doing so? He imputed my sins to Christ and Christ paid my debt in full and secured for me all the blessings and all the benefits of salvation. Now how do I know that this describes me, that I am a man who is not charged with my sins? Well, you remember David over in verse 2 of Psalm 32. Remember what he said? He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, what is guile? Well, guile basically is dishonesty. Guile is hypocrisy. For example, a person who comes to God as a sinner, expecting God to save him, bless him, benefit him, or do anything, or receive him, based on anything other than the righteousness of Christ, that person's full of guile. That's a depraved person. He's like Cain. He comes before God thinking that he made the difference, thinking that his works will impress God and recommend him unto God. But that's not the case. There's only one thing that'll recommend a sinner unto God, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's his righteousness imputed. And so here's what it is. The non-imputation of sin. God not charging me with my sin. Here's what it means. It means, number one, God charged my sins to Christ, and Christ paid my debt in full. It means, number two, that Christ's righteousness has been imputed to me. I stand before God justified. I'm forgiven of all my sins on a just ground, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm righteous in God's sight, not by anything I've done or decided, but totally by the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me. Now, how do I know that that's my case? Well, if God does not impute sins to you, and if God has imputed Christ's righteousness to you, you know what's going to happen? At some point in time, the Spirit of God is going to bring you under the preaching of the gospel you're hearing right now, and He's going to give you life from above. New life, a new heart. You're going to be born again, and you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only way of salvation. You're going to admit the guile of hypocrisy is going to be removed, because you're going to admit, you're going to confess your sins. Yeah, that's true. You're going to admit that if God were to charge you with your sins, you'd be doomed forever. David said that in Psalm 130 and verse 3. He said, Lord, or when he was talking about forgiveness there. And he said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who would stand? None of us. I'm telling you right now, if God were to charge me with any sin that I've committed, I would be doomed forever. My only hope is to the hope of the blessed man. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And Paul writes of that in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? See, this is for God's elect. And who are the elect? They are they who come to believe the gospel. He said, it's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died and is risen again. Why did Christ rise from the dead? Because righteousness was established. And if righteousness has been imputed to me, then I'll be brought by God through the Spirit under the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of my dead works and my former idolatry. That's the guile that's not in my mouth anymore. Oh, I have problems with sin, but I look to Christ for salvation. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.